Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The time now is exactly 11 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to Radio Islam International. My name is Muhammad Bahman. I'll be your host this morning until 10 a.m. inshallah. Joining us online we have is Mawlana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you this morning, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, how are you this morning?
Very well, very well. You would say 2 months nearly over of the new year.
Well, we are currently discussing the topic loving Islam, and we were discussing about Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his various interactions with the different people. We discussed about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam having interactions with his own family members, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his interactions with Azwaj al-Mutahharat radiyallahu ta'ala anhun, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa and his discussion with his close mates. Also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last we did was the discussions Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with his interactions with his slaves and his servants. We also mentioned how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against the injustice against servants, and how Allah will be against all unjust people. Also, forgive the mistakes of our servants, even if they are always recurring. Forgive your servants, even though it be 70 times a day. And we mentioned that 70 years doesn't mean that you must stop at 70. It means that amount of time. And we also mentioned the story of the servant of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was a little boy, and he mentions that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever reprimanded him. He was in the service of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the 10 years after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah to Medina, and once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam even sent him on an errand, and he said that he's not going to go, but when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and found him playing with some boys, he mentioned Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever shouted him. Are we continuing from there?
Yes, Mawlana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As you correctly summed up, that we are discussing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's interaction and his management of his relationship with servants. Today we might come to the end of this discussion. However, before we come to an end, there are some further additional incidents from which we would like to draw some lessons. There is one where a servant takes revenge from his master. And this is something that happened during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muawiyah ibn Suwaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, and he says that I slept a servant of ours, then fled and came back shortly before the Dhuhr prayer and prayed behind my father. Afterwards, my father called the slave and then called me and said to him, "Do to him as he has done to you." However, the servant pardoned me, he forgave me. So here is an incident where someone says that he slapped his servant, and thereafter he came for his Dhuhr Salah, and he performed his Dhuhr Salah behind his father. And after the Salah, the father, who obviously must have heard of this incident, called me, and the person that's narrating this is Muawiyah ibn Suwaid, that my father called me and the servant, and he said to the servant, "Do to him as he has done to you." However, the servant who I slapped forgave me and pardoned me. My father then said, "We, the offspring of Muqarin, only had one servant during the time of the Nabi of Allah, and one of us slapped the servant, and that reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After slapping the servant, the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah said to us, 'Free her.'" The father continues to say, a member of the family said, "She is our only servant." Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Then employ her, and when you are no longer in need of her, then set her free." Now, this is an incident that took place. Now, let's draw the lessons from this incident. Imam Nawawi, rahimahumullah, says that in this incident, when the person said, "Do to him as he has done to you," meaning when the father said to the servant who was slapped by his own son, that do to him as he has done to you, it is held to mean that he tried to comfort the heart of the servant who had been slapped. Because it's not obligatory to carry out the system of revenge, qisas, and so forth. However, the obligation is admonishment. Here the father's intention was to warn and caution his son. Since he wanted to be free from the responsibility, he gave the servant the ability to avenge what was done to him. Now this incident in this narration contains injunctions for being good to servants and also acting in accordance to humility. We also notice here how the son beforehand knew that his father would punish him if he hit the servant or treated the servant badly. That is why he ran away after he struck the servant and only went back during the time of Salah, and he hoped that the prayer would be a sort of an intercessor between himself and his father. In other words, the father would not punish him or become angry with him. So it was early in the morning when the first person slapped the servant. He realized that the father would be angry with me for doing so. He went away, he ran away, and he thought that now some time has passed, we've made wudu, we've performed our salah, and the anger of my father would have subsided. It was at that moment when the father called both of them and cautioned him and also asked the servant to do, or rather to take revenge. Now, from this, Hilal ibn Yassaf narrates that an old man became angry and hasty and slapped a servant of his on her face. Upon which Suwaid ibn Muqarrid said, you could not find anywhere else to hit her besides the most prominent part of her face. And then he said, I was one of the servant children of Muqarrid, and we only had one servant, and the youngest of us slapped her. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to free her. Now the last instruction that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, we've learned yes thus far that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's treatment of servants was absolutely based on justice, on equity, on compassion, on kindness, on mercy, and he hardly took revenge, he hardly scolded them, he always treated them with compassion, even if they were wrong. And as a result of this, we also find that the last instruction that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, as an admonishment, as a warning, before leaving this world, before passing away, was regarding prayers, regarding your servants. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that among the core advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was passing away, and even whilst his soul was leaving him, was guard your prayer and fear Allah regarding what your right hand possesses. Now, fearing Allah, what your right hand possesses, refer to your servants, your slaves. And obviously, we do know that in those days, slavery was norm. However, in today's time, there aren't any slaves. However, the laws regarding the treatment of slaves befits even more to the way one treats his servants. Allama Sindhi Rahimahumullah says that this statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guard your prayer, means to keep dutiful to your prayer, give it its due importance, do not neglect your prayer. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear Allah regarding what your right hand possesses, it was a warning in reference to slaves, both male and female. It means giving them their right and be kind to those that are under your authority. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, regarding the same incident, that the last words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were, guard your prayer, guard your prayer. Fear Allah the Almighty with regards to what your right hand possesses. Now fear Allah the Almighty with regard to your right hand possesses. The author of An-Nihaya says that here it means to be good towards your servant, good towards your slave, as well as lessen the burden to them. Not only being good, but do not overburden them with work. Lessen the burden on them. It was said that this was an admonishment, a warning, a caution with regards to paying the obligatory charity for the wealth that one possesses. Some even say that. However, fear Allah the Almighty regarding to what your right hand possesses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant slaves, he meant servants, and it is a right of slaves. Was coupled with prayer, the right of servants was coupled with guarding your prayer to show that caring for the needs, such as clothing, such as food, is obligatory, just as prayer is obligatory. And there is no way that an individual can abandon this obligation of caring for their servants in a way that is equitable and just. This brings us to the end of our discussion, Maulana, relating to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with servants, how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with them, and how he encouraged every one of us who are in the good fortune of having servants to ensure that we treat them kindly, justly, we pay them the due, and in no way do we burden them with that which they are unable to handle, never be abusive to them, never be vulgar to them, never use physical or verbal abuse with them. And even if they do something that is not in accordance to the instructions that we have given them, be in the habit to forgive them. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as we have discussed previously, forgive them as many times as you would like Allah to be forgiving you. This brings us to an end of a very important section of our discussion, the treatment of your servants. May Allah give us the ability to practice what we have learned. And as we have continuously said, that the purpose of all these incidents that we narrate and relate is not for information, but rather to practice upon them, to emulate the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Rasulullah has been praised in the Quran. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the character, in the personality, in the behavior, in the habits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have a beautiful example to follow. Mawlana, this brings us to the end of this discussion. If you want to make some comments before we start our new section, and even if you wish to go for a break, we can even go for a break, and when you come back, we'll start with our new section, inshallah.
I think let's go for the break, and after the break, we'll start with the new section of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his interactions with various people. Our next section, inshallah, will deal with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his interactions with the disabled.
Inshallah,
let's go for a break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Before the break, we were discussing about the interactions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the servants. And as Maulana mentioned, that this is not something that we should just listen to, but rather abide by. It's the way how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. This is how we should also try to emulate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how we should try to forgive our servants if there's any shortcoming from their side. We can continue now with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his interactions with the disabled. In today's society, we see that we do have a lot of people that are disabled. And what is our interactions? How should we go about in interacting with these people?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yes, Maulana, the dealings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the disabled, it's also a very important chapter in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it gives a beautiful manifestation and a display of the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also a display of the beautiful deen ul fitra that we as Muslims enjoy. As an introduction, let's just understand the whole concept of being disabled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, fashioned His creation and differentiated between His creation with regards to our bodies, with regards to our complexions, with regards to our capabilities, just as He has differentiated between us in our appearances and our looks. This is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some bodies are different, the complexions are different, capacities, capabilities are different, appearances are different, our looks are different. And this is in the broad wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who He knows best what's the wisdom behind them. However, some people have been tested by being deprived of some bodily blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given others. So some people are created in a way that they are not deprived of any bodily blessings. It's a different thing that we today, we might not be happy with the way or our weight, and we are constantly on diets and all of that. That's a separate story. We are talking here about basic disabilities. So Allah has tested some people by deprived of some bodily, physical blessings that Allah in His infinite mercy and wisdom has given others. Among the many examples are, some have been tested with loss of eyesight. Some have been tested by loss of hearing. Some have been tested by the ability to move some parts of the body and not move some other parts of the body. Some have been tested who have lost some parts of their sanity, causing them to be regarded below the level that one would be considered normal. These could also be given as an example. Also, when we are talking about those that are disabled, you know, even today's society demands from us that even the use of words describing the disability has to be very carefully, you know, selected. No society is free from individuals with disabilities who have been tested to a lesser degree. For example, someone who has lost one eye is less tested than someone who has lost both. And someone who is crippled has been tested to a lesser degree than someone who is paralyzed. In these cases, those that have been tested with a lesser degree of a disability should take lesson from those who have been tested to a higher degree. And the one who is healthy, alhamdulillah, should take all the different people on the spectrum of an example. If someone is free from any of these disabilities, then he should look at every person that is suffering from a disability and he should look at them as an example of how he should be, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed everyone with innumerable blessings. So to Allah is the praise in every situation, and therefore we say Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Certainly, to Allah belongs every praise in every condition and situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you should count the favor, that is the blessings of Allah, one would never be able to enumerate them. And at the same time, in the same ayah, Allah also cautions us, indeed, mankind is generally most unjust and ungrateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensates disabled individuals by granting them blessings in the form of other things. And you will note that whoever suffers from some form of disability, while they have those disabilities, Allah compensates that disability by granting the disabled person blessings in the form of other things. For example, you would find that a person who is blind, a blind individual, has most likely been given blessings such as superior intelligence, precise memory, sharp hearing. And this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His broad spectrum of creation, that when some of your faculties is challenged, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensates that faculty by granting you other faculties that are better than the others. And like I say, that you will find that a blind individual has most likely been given blessings such as sharp intelligence, precise, great memory, and also sharp hearing. And some people might even say, what is the purpose behind caring for the disabled, treating them well, and spending on them? Unfortunately, this type of thoughts also go into people. In fact, there is a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Mustawrid al-Qurashi radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about those that look after, or prior rather, the hadith is that prior to the day of Qiyamah, towards the latter times, you will find that the Roman people, and here it refers to disbelievers, or the European nation, would be more in number. And on this, Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remarked and said to Mustawrid al-Qurashi, be cautious of what you are saying. And Mustawrid al-Qurashi said, I only say what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the nation, the European nation, will be more dominant as time goes on. And upon that, Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, that if that is so, let me give you the reasons why. And Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu was among those sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in our terminology we could call him as the foreign secretary of the Islamic State. He was someone that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent as a deputy, as an ambassador to visit various other nations. And he's seen some of the characters and qualities of them. And when he gave the reasons why that would be so, one of the reasons he said, that you will find that they care for the disabled more than the other nations. Subhanallah. And we see that today in our times. If you go into Muslim states and countries, there is very little facilities for the disabled. Yet in the Western culture, you find that the facilities for the disabled are far better than what is offered in our own Muslim countries. However, this was a side comment that I felt was necessary to share. The intuition and the intelligence of Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, people who subscribe to this mentality that, you know, there isn't a need to create these facilities for the disabled are those who do not adhere to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded, nor do they hope for what Allah the Almighty possesses. Actually, this way of thinking is that of someone who is very far from the true meaning of humanity. Humanity is not only Islam. Humanity demands of us that we need to take extra precautionary care and facilities and arrange for facilities for the disabled. And as for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we as Muslims, and we believe in Allah the Almighty and on the day of Qiyamah, we should know that the presence of disabled individuals among us contains great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as benefit for the one being tested, and subhanallah, a reminder for the one who has not been tested. I'll just repeat this. That people who possess iman, Muslims, who believe in Allah, who believe on the day of Qiyamah, we should know and we should be cognizant of the fact that the presence of disabled people among us contains great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also has a benefit for one being tested and a reminder for the one who has not been tested. Now, if you come to Rasulullah, that was just as an introduction, Mawlana. If you come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his seerah and the way he dealt with the disabled, subhanallah, he had many dealings with those whom Allah the Almighty had tested with disabilities. He had many dealings with those whom suffered chronic illnesses. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had set the best example in the manner that he dealt with this class of community. And inshaAllah, as we have done in the past, we will continue giving some examples of these interactions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to be patient and would give them glad tidings of paradise. Firstly, those that are challenged, disabled, it was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always advise them to make sabr, to be patient, and also told them that your patience is going to result in you gaining Jannah. So Rasulullah advised them to make sabr and also gave them glad tidings of Jannah. And there are many examples of this in the hadith. There is a hadith of Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu who says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Allah said, subhanallah. Now this is a hadith of Qudsi. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that Allah said, if my slave is tested with his two beloved possessions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to those who are disabled. And Allah says, if you, my slave, is tested with his two beloved possessions, his or her two beloved possessions, which is eyes, lost of eyesight, and is patient, then I will compensate him or her for them by granting them Jannah. Subhanallah. On the one hand, in this world you are tested, you are deprived of your eyesight. In return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you exercise patience on this challenge, then I guarantee you Jannah. Some ulama have said that this narration is evidence that Jannah is the reward of patience in the face of trials and challenges. Although the blessing of eyesight to a person is one of the most esteemed blessings, ask those who do not have eyesight that the blessing of eyesight is one of the most esteemed blessings. And the compensation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for this is Jannah. And it's better than the blessings of having eyes in this worldly life. The blessing of Jannah undoubtedly is a blessing far greater than any other blessing in this worldly life, even the blessing of the eyesight. And this is because the time and the period that an individual would enjoy their eyesight will come to an end in this worldly life. This worldly life is a short life. It's a temporary life. The eyesight that one enjoys will also come to an end with the end of this worldly life. And because the time period that one will enjoy in Jannah, subhanallah, is everlasting and never ending. And therefore, the benefit and the bounty and the blessing of Jannah in place of the loss of eyesight is a far superior blessing. Therefore, Ibn Hajar rahimahumullah says, the reason that they were called his two beloved possessions, eyesight, is because they are the two most beloved parts of the body to an individual. Your eyes are the most beloved possessions, most beloved parts of the body to an individual. And the reason is they are so beloved is that when they are lost, an individual experiences sorrow at the fact that they cannot see the good things they wish to see and take delight in that and cannot see something evil or harmful. in order to avoid it. Imagine a person that does not have eyesight. He is not able to see anything that will cause him harm on his path in order to avoid it. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith, a person who loses these possessions and is patient, and in another narration it is mentioned, I only am satisfied with paradise as a result or as a reward for someone who whose two beloved possessions I have taken and who deals with that with patience and expecting reward. In other words, in the one hadith Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the reward for such a person is Jannah. And in another version of a hadith where Allah says whoever is deprived of this possession and is patient, or Allah says I am only satisfied with paradise. Allah says, I am only satisfied with paradise as a reward for someone whose two beloved possessions I have taken and who deals with that patience and expecting reward. The meaning is such an individual should be patient while keeping in mind the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, has promised to those who are patient. It does not mean to be patient while not keeping that thought in one's mind, because actions are based on intentions. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests someone in this worldly life, it is not always because He is angry with that person. Rather, it might be to keep them away from something evil. It might be to expiate their sins, forgive their sins. It might be to raise their rank and status. And it might be a combination of all three. To raise their status, to forgive their sins, and to raise their rank in Jannah. If a person who has been challenged with some disability accepts that with contentness, with sabr, then the reason behind that trial will be realized. Otherwise, such an individual would be as the one who has been defined in the narration of Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah causes the sickness of the believer to be an expiation for their sins. And the sickness of the evildoer is like a camel that has been shackled, then allowed to go free. The camel does not know why it was shackled and why it is set free. And in the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I will compensate such a person by granting them Jannah, shows that this is the best compensation ever possible. Because enjoying eyesight ends when life ends, but enjoying Jannah lasts eternally. This reward is applicable to anyone who has been afflicted with a loss of eyesight, as long as the mentioned preserving, persevering patiently is met. These are just the beginning of our discussion. In this first hadith, the address is to anyone that is challenged with a disability. And among the most challenging of disabilities is the loss of eyesight. And regarding that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith al-Qudsi says that if they bear that with patience, there is nothing, I'm not satisfied. Allah says, I am not satisfied by giving such a person any reward except Jannah. Subhanallah. This in itself is a great lesson for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I the ability to deal with these types of disabilities with patience. And also, as we go along, insha'Allah, we will learn the beautiful teachings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given. For us, those that are not challenged with disabilities, how to manage and deal with people that suffer from these types of disabilities. Well, I think we can come to an end here, and maybe if you want to make some comments or ask our listeners if they wish any particular area that they want us to discuss in our broad discussion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealings with those that suffer a disability.
To the listeners, any questions or any area that you would like Marana to discuss, you can SMS or WhatsApp me on 0723287777. That's 0723287777. And inshallah, during the coming weeks, we'll put the questions to Marana and we'll discuss those sections that are also the listeners want us to discuss. But it is a very important topic, especially in today's time. We find that there's a lot of disabilities, people with special needs, and it's important that we understand these people with special needs and how we should interact with them. Because the moment that we do something that's not normal, then many of the people that have the special needs, they definitely feel it, and many times they feel out of place. Ma, jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we hope to speak to one another next week, Wednesday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It brings to the end of today's program. Until we meet again, from myself, Muhammad Bamin, my engineer, brother Mikael. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.